let's give him praise this morning. He is an awesome, awesome God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Great and mighty is our God. Do you feel good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to go right to our text this morning. So glad that each and every one of you are here. I'm glad about what God is doing in this place, in this house. Amen. He is an awesome, awesome God. Thank you, musicians and singers. Let's give them a hand. They did awesome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoilings of your goods, knowing in yourself that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Hallelujah. An enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath greater recompense of reward. Be confident. Be confident who you are. For ye have need of patience. Ooh, patience. Patience. That after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. So you've got to do the will of God to receive the promise. You've got to do something to receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. By faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Don't draw back. Don't go backwards. We're moving forwards. And I want to go to Psalm 78, verse 9. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They went backwards. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Jesus, bless us today as we come to hear your word. Open our minds and our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. As you're seated, bump your neighbor and say, it's good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. I'm talking about never giving up this morning. Never giving up. I like the scripture we just read about the children of Ephraim being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. I had, when I was a boy, a dog that was given to my father and I, and it was a rabbit dog, and my dad thought we were going to get in rabbit hunting for a while, and it was funny, some of the things that happened in that little short, brief experience of having rabbit dogs. We had about 8 or 9 of them, way too many for us, but we had them anyway. But this one dog was beautiful. This dog was named Susie, and Susie was supposed to be the best rabbit dog. Well, if somebody gives you a dog and says, this is the best rabbit dog in the state, you better wonder, why are you giving it to me then? Because that might have something to do with it being. But it was pretty. It had a pretty mouth. It had a pretty bark and howl. She was a beautiful dog. She really was. Her name was Susie. She was just amazing little dog, little beagle. And Susie had one flaw that we found out very quickly. Susie trailed backwards. She trailed backwards. Everybody else is going where the rabbit went and trailing the rabbit. She went the opposite direction. She trailed backwards. She was what you call a cold noser. She trailed backwards. She always went the wrong way. Pretty mouth, beautiful, beautiful. You'd hear, oh, oh, oh. You'd hear it just, oh, man, that's so. She's in the wrong direction. if you hear her over there, you go over there. Because the rabbit ain't over there where she's at, I can promise you. But we're looking at never giving up, and these children of Ephraim, they were armed and they were carrying bows, but in the day of battle, they went backwards like Susie. They went the opposite direction. You know, I wonder sometimes if we're faced with situations and circumstances in our life, and instead of running to God, sometimes we go backwards. Sometimes we get off track and we're like Susie. We look the part, we act the part, we can say the part, sing the part, but we're going in the opposite direction. A quitter is one who submits to defeat, one who gives up, one who discontinues the fight. But a fighter is one who stays in the battle. One who continues the struggles, one who engages in the conflict, one who is willing to fight until the death. Amen. In the old days, maybe when some of you were quite a bit younger, and maybe when I wasn't, probably when I wasn't even alive or born, which is not too far long ago, so you're not old at all. But in the olden days, as they would say, when a boxer got into a fight, the fight wasn't over until his side threw in the towel. As a sign of I'm surrendering. Now they've changed things now. They have, you know, different rules and stuff. But in the old days, they would fight until one guy says, hey, I've had enough. I've had enough. Well, that tells me an attitude of those old time boxers was, hey, I'm coming in here. I ain't quitting. I'm not giving up. I'm not going backwards. I'm not going in the opposite direction. I'm coming at you. I'm coming at you. Amen. My grandpa, I'm just talking a little bit this morning. I'm just going to be a few more minutes here. My grandpa years ago, they had chickens. And they had all kinds of chickens. He had setters. He had crowers. He had flyers. He had fighters. He had all these different types of chickens. And I remember him talking about these chickens. And the setters, they would sit on eggs all the time. Couldn't get them off the nest. He would go and kick their nest and fill up the hole where they were sitting, try to have eggs, and get up and do something else. And then he had one that was a crower, and it would crow all night long, not in the morning, not when it was supposed to, in the wee hours of the morning, 2 and 3 and 4 a.m. on the dot, just going off. He took wire, he wired its mouth shut, didn't work. This thing would still crow. Its regulator wasn't regulated. And I wonder sometimes if some of us, some of our regulations are regulated or is off a little bit, you know. And then he had some flyers. They were always flying over the fence. They were always trying to get out of the coop. And he had to eat. He plucked their wings back then. And some of them, they were so bare of feathers and fly, being able to fly, that they were sunburned when you try to eat them. They were tough and hard because they got sunburned. That's a true story. Then he had some that were fighters. They're always fighting, always wanting to get into it and go at each other, and Dad would wring their necks and eat them. My dad had a friend named Bobby Huffpower, and he had a Dominicker Rhode Island Red little rooster, and they would light a 55-gallon barrel drum with fire and put a lid on top of it, and they would fight their chickens on top of that thing and make a prance up. And Bobby Huffpower, he would take his rooster and he'd take the cob on top, and he would bite that cob on top of that rooster's head and make it mad. And then he would throw him out there to fight. We're not supposed to be doing that, but they did it as boys. I've never done that in my life, ever. But there's some people, you don't have to do much to them, and they're ready to fight and bow up and do things maybe they shouldn't be doing. You know, the children of Ephraim, the scripture we use, they were trained to guard the Ark of the Covenant. They were prepared for battle. They were men of war. They were to protect the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was a type of the presence of the Lord. And the presence of God went where the Ark of the Covenant was. And they were trained to fight from birth. And they were trained not to allow the enemy to take the Ark no matter what. The children of Ephraim didn't have the fight that their fathers had. It was something that was passed down through the generations. You're going to protect the ark. You're going to take care of the presence of God. Folks, it's important having what we're having this morning with Pastor upstairs teaching our children and talking to our children. They've got to be taught. That's why we have Gravity. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have children's worship, because it's got to be passed down. It can't die with you. It can't stop with you. They can't be like Susie and go backwards in the opposite direction and be a cold noser. They got to be on the trail. They got to be set right on the narrow, straight path. Get in the right lane and live for Jesus Christ. Just talking today. And these men of Ephraim, they were supposed to be trained and mighty men of valor to protect the ark. But the Philistines took the ark away from them. And you and I are to be trained to guard against sin and the world and things of the world, worldly pleasures, things that are just fun for a season. But when they are finished, they'll bring forth death. You know, growing up, I was always large. I don't know what it is to not be large, so therefore it's normal for me. Y'all are the weird ones. God just didn't make us all out of the same piece of molding, I guess. But growing up, you know, Dad always told me that. He said, if you're a bully, I'm going to tear you up. And he had several of those instruments that Pastor had this morning. He didn't spare the rod. Don't be a bully. You're going to be bigger. You're going to be stronger. You're going to be faster. Don't take advantage of that and prey on other people. If you're a bully, I'm going to take care of you. And I was scared. I was real scared. And then he looked me in the eye and he said, but if you're bullied and you don't do something about it and you don't stand up for the innocent or the helpless, I'm going to tear you up. So, okay, Dad, there's a fine line there, folks. But I learned that boasters are seldom fighters. People who talk a lot and they got a lot to say about a situation and trying to egg you on, they're not fighters. You got to worry about them. It's the ones that are standing over there quiet, just watching. You better watch out for that one. He might be the littlest guy in there, but if he's over there just watching, you just see, he's sizing things up. He can probably handle himself. The dog that barks will hardly ever bite you, but it's the one that slips up behind you that will take a chunk out of your leg. I was at a certain someone's house that's here today, looking at some parts in their backyard, steering column or something, and I won't name his name, Monso, Terry Monso, but he has a little black dog that needs to be barbecued, because that little dude will wag his tail and he'll come trotting up behind you and everything is, he's gonna bite you because he bit me. Don't say a word to me. He'll bark a little bit when you're in the car, but you get out of the car, he gets quiet, he's watching. You think, oh, he's fine, he's happy, he's waggling his tail. You better watch out. That little dude will take a plug out of you. Yes, he will. As long as the war was far away, as long as the situation, the battle didn't affect these children of Ephraim, everything was going good. But when war and the threat of issues and trouble came, they went backwards. They turned around. There was a general that had a message sent to him. His name was Xerxes. He was the Spartan general. He said, this messenger, the Persian general, said, Xerxes, all of your men are going to die. Xerxes said, well, why is that? He said, your men are not disciplined. Xerxes told the messenger, watch this. He told a soldier to march, and that soldier marched off of a 1,000-foot cliff. Another message was sent to Xerxes, and we're surprised that your men are so disciplined, Xerxes, but you're all going to die. And Xerxes looked at him, and, well, why is that? Well, the messenger said, because your men cannot take pain. He called a soldier over and told him to put his hand over the fire. History records that the man put his hand over the fire, and the flesh melted away. He never made a sound. He just watched it burn because he was commanded to do so. We're surprised. We're surprised that your men can take pain. But you're all going to die, Xerxes. Xerxes said, well, why is that? He said, well, you are disciplined. You can take pain. But you're going to die because there's going to be a cloud of arrows coming through the sky. And we're going to wipe you out. It's going to destroy all of you. Xerxes smiled and said, my soldiers love to fight in the shade of a cloud of arrows. Determined never to give up. Determined never to go backwards. Determined never to wash out. We're in this for the long haul. We're in this not just for a moment, not just for an emotion or a feeling. We live for God, and we assemble and worship God for the long haul. We're not in this for a moment or a service. We're in this for the long haul. We're never, ever, ever, ever going to give up. We're never, ever going to go back. The devil wants you to be intimidated. He wants you to run and to give up and to go backwards. And that word intimidation, he can just step in. You can be on cloud nine. It seems like when you get to the top of the mountain and everything is just going great, all of a sudden something, trouble comes and you're just devastated. Oh God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? What's going on? 5 minutes before, you were on top of the world. Never give up. Never give up. The enemy wants to take your joy. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your power. He wants to steal your fellowship. He wants to take your security from you. Never give up. Never give up. Fighters that will wrestle in the spirit. We need men and women who will pray when nobody else will pray. Pray until something happens. Pray until something happens. Shout with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is coming back again. Never give up. Never give up. Hear me this morning. It's a simple point. I've simply come to tell you, never give up. The men at the Alamo, when Travis drew a line in the sand, Bowie and Davy Crockett first to cross the line.